I wonder what's ever happened in your life to cause a dramatic change. Getting a new job can do that. Retiring from an old job, moving house, changing areas. Getting married, as we discovered, that brings change, doesn't it, Ross, as you shared with us this morning about your marital difficulties. Having kids by act, that doesn't often change your life as well, especially when they insist on putting tomato sauce on your spaghetti bolognese. Some people don't respond to change very well. Used to tease our folks when I was at the Baptist church. Used to say, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Who said anything about change? We don't like change, and sometimes it's not always easy. Stories told about a doctor who told a man that he needed to make some changes in his life and his lifestyle, and he needed to maybe give up red meat, and so he did. He stopped putting tomato sauce on his beef burgers. I say all these things because it was a commentator, F.B. Hugh, who commentated upon this particular verse that we've read tonight that completely and utterly changed the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I believe, would need to reflect on the information that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of his ministry. I believe that he would visit these words spoken to him by God time and time and time again. And he would need to draw strength from them, giving him the assurance that God was with him, that it was God who had called him to this ministry, that he wasn't called by any man. It wasn't that he suddenly himself chose and decided to do these things, but it was God's call upon his life. And it was this call that came through the Word of God that dramatically changes people's lives. I say that because what was going to be true of Jeremiah's life is that he was going to live through some pretty horrific things. He started his ministry, as we discovered last time, under a king, a very, very godly king called Josiah. Josiah, who received the word of the Lord, who at the age of just 12, after coming to the throne at 8, by the age of 12 began to bring reform into the nation and started pulling down idols of worship and started calling the people back to the God of the Bible. Sadly, that king was killed. Egyptian Pharaoh Necho came down and killed him and destroyed him and began to wreak havoc within Judah. He would witness Jehoahaz as well, who was just a king just for 3 months, who again, he himself was conquered by this Pharaoh king. He would witness Jehoiakim, who actually even changed the king's name, such was the control that he had upon the people. He would witness that he would actually reign for just 11 years, but that he would be a puppet king in the hand of the Pharaoh, and he would do such wickedness. He would also witness Jehoiakim and the final king, Zedekiah, as well. Zedekiah, though he reigned for 11 years, his reign was longer than some other kings. He was still as wicked as some of those who'd gone before him. On top of that, his own countrymen would not listen to him and would reject it. And so this word that Jeremiah received, not only did it bring such change in his life, but it brought such comfort and such assurance that God was with him in midst of all the changes that were going to happen. He lived through every bit of it, and yet he also knew this simple truth for us tonight, that Jeremiah begins his prophetic writings by remembering and completely understanding and emphasizing the elective sovereignty of God on his life. He needed that. He's writing this book as it happens. He's not writing it as it happens, he's writing it in the aftermath. And so you get, as you go through some of the hurt and the confusion that he's feeling in the midst of the difficulties. And so he could have needed to constantly be reminding himself that God had called him and that God had given him this ministry. And this is critical for us to see. Turn with me, if you would, to the passage. Look what it says there. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, the word of the Lord, which was his security, said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Notice there the personal pronouns there, time and time again, you and I. This was a very personal word to Jeremiah. When we are seeing the world falling apart, just like Jeremiah did in our day, just in our day when the world is falling apart, when society is constantly changing, when society is constantly deframing the word of God and his name, using it solely as a swear word, we need this strength ourselves. We are just like Jeremiah, trying to apply and understand the word of God in the world that just doesn't want to hear. And so as we begin tonight, I want to bring some word of encouragement and hopefully a word of comfort to each and every one of us. To know that God is with us. That he's not failed in his task in calling you and just left you to do it yourself. But in the midst of it all, he is with us. So with all that said, let's just pray it again together, shall we? Father, we praise and thank you for your call upon your servant, Jeremiah. We thank you that you still speak today through your precious word, through the power of your Holy Spirit, who gives us understanding to your truth. And so, Father, as we begin to consider your truth tonight, I just pray that you would be with us, that you would open our eyes by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would give us understanding on your truth, and that you would bring encouragement, that you'd bring comfort to each and every one of us. So help us now, lead us by your Spirit, we pray, as we surrender ourselves afresh in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Several things I want us to notice. Firstly, there, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in verse 4. Notice that it says that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, not Jeremiah to the word of the Lord. In other words, this is not something that Jeremiah was seeking. It was not something that he was proactive in. This is the sovereign word of God, and it is a sovereign work of God, and we should not miss this. If we have, and by the goodness of God, I assume you have because you're here tonight, if we have some form of desire to know the word of God, it's not a desire that you have, it's a desire that God has given you. Jeremiah didn't desire to know God's word. He was quite happy living the life in which he was living. But God put something within him and drew him to his word. Right at the outset of his life and his ministry, Jeremiah makes it very, very clear that what he is writing, that it is the word of God. It's not that he suddenly decided, today I'm going to write a nice story about my life. I'm going to give an account of everything that's happened and everything that's going on. No, he doesn't do that. He wrote the inspired word of God, and everything that he writes comes to him. And so what we learn in this verse is that God actually spoke to Jeremiah. This is not a vision, it's not a dream, but God audibly spoke to his prophets. The commentator Charles Finberg, he said this, that Jeremiah actually heard the divine word. Again, Jeremiah is not looking for a change in direction in his life. He's not looking to change and to do anything. It's not a job that he's seeking to do. It's something that God called him to do. Again, another important point at the outset of this book is that it's the word of God that a corrupt world needs. Jeremiah could have, because he had access to the throne. He could have gone to the king and said, this is what you need to do. If you just set up some food banks, I'm not knocking food banks, by the way. But if you just set up some food banks in these areas, if you just put together some debt counseling agency, if you just maybe bring social change by going and maybe instructing the children in a different way of thinking and behaving, then king, then you'd bring reform. No, what he does, folks, forgive me, all these agencies are very, very good things in and of themselves, but these things will not bring reform to a nation. Only the Word of God can do that. Only a sovereign move of the Spirit of God upon a nation through the declaring of His Word will actually ever do that. And that's what Jeremiah knew. And that's what we need to know today. There is one thing and one thing alone that will change this world, and that is the power of God through His preached Word. God still speaks today, amen? That's two of you. Three, four, five. He does. Still speaks today through His Word, through the power of His Holy Spirit, to change and to transform lives. Secondly, you notice there that God knew Jeremiah even before Jeremiah was in the womb. Verse 5, before I formed you, I knew you, Jeremiah. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. If you've ever doubted the sovereign foreknowledge and elective choice of God concerning individual human beings, then let me tell you, this one verse settles it. Does it not? Look at the way that the words are structured there, the verbs within that sentence. Formed, new, consecrated, or set apart, appointed. This is the foreknowledge. This is the predestination and the election and even the commission of an individual, all wrapped up in one verse. It was God Himself who had sovereignly sanctioned and the formation of the life of Jeremiah long before a man and a woman ever met and got together and thought, let's have kids. Before he was conceived, God had a plan. Now we know, because we've already looked at this verse together, in verse 1 that it says that he had an earthly father. Therefore we know he would have had an earthly mother. That's how these things. So he had biological parents who were responsible for the formation of the baby. It was God at work. It wasn't just because of their will or a man's desire. It is because of God. Parents, when your children ask you that awful question, which sometimes they do ask, where did we come from? Simply know this. The theological answer is this. You came from God. Because that's the truth. And it gets us out of those awkward questions. Because it is God who is at work, forming these precious lives even in the womb. That verb form there literally means to give shape to something, as in a similar way that a potter gives shape to a bit of clay. God is responsible for actually the formation and the shaping of a baby in a mother's womb. Again, the personal pronoun you. Jeremiah was a real person. In the whole of this formation, the whole of this gestation phase in the mother's womb, and God knew him. The Hebrew word there to know yada is the word that speaks of an intimate, observable knowledge of somebody. I know my wife. Why? Because I've lived with her for 28, nearly 29 years this year. I've known her for 32 years. I know her at that level. This is the knowledge that God is saying, at that intimate knowledge of us. Even before you were in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. Every baby is known and formed by the heart of God. There is no such thing as an accidental birth, accidental pregnancy. You're our little late one. You're the accident, absolute rubbish. I've shared with you before, and I don't mean this just, it's just as a way of illustration, but I remember a dear member of my family who was born out of wedlock, and she always lived with that stigma of it, you know? Wasn't she the one in the family that were, you know, because we worked out the dates, you know? It was only when she came to know the Lord as her personal Savior and she discovered for herself that she was not an accident. But God knew her. And she was formed even within her mother's womb. Again, the word appointed there, it's actually where the word Nathan actually comes from, to give someone or to cause someone to receive something. God literally caused Jeremiah to become something, to become a prophet of God, to become the prophet to the nations. That was his ministry. It was something that the sovereign hand of God done, something that the sovereign hand of God had even planned before this boy was conceived. Don't you marvel at that? Don't you wonder at it all? Does it not excite you? Does it not make you... Sorry, George. Sound engineer just lost it then. Let me just zero in on this point for just one moment, because it's important for us to grasp. What this means is that God set Jeremiah apart in the womb as a sacred vessel even before he was born. If you want to know why you are here and what you are supposed to do, then ask God. You have because you ask not. Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your plan? What is your purpose? Lord, show me it. Reveal it to me. Through the power of your word, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who saved you. Amen. He is the one who knows you. Amen. He is the one who has appointed you. He is the one who's given you certain gifts, certain abilities. And he is the one that desires that you use it for his glory. You may be thinking, well, actually, Phil, you've already made reference tonight several times of how personal this particular phrase is, you and I. Surely all that God is talking about is the servant Jeremiah. Well, let me tell you, you're wrong. Because it was also said of Isaiah as well. The Lord called me from the womb, it says in Isaiah 49, verse 1. From the body of my mother, he named me. Paul said exactly the same thing in Galatians 1, verse 15 to 16. Paul said that God knew his life and had a plan for his life. Even before he was in his mother's womb, God had planned him to be a means of bringing the grace gospel to the Gentiles. John himself said, the Lord Jesus Christ said himself in John 15, 16. He said this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." We've finished a series at the beginning of last year. We started it in Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4. Can you remember what it says all the way back in January of 2021? This is what we were reminded of, that God chose you before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy, blameless before him, not just before you were conceived, but before the very foundations of the world, God chose you and appointed you that you would be holy and blameless. You are no accident. And this is not just a word for Jeremiah. It's not just a word for those big prophets that God used. It's a word for each and every one of us tonight. That the gifts you have, the skills you have, the blessings that you have are from a sovereign God who knew you, who formed you, who consecrated you, who called you, who saved you, who justified you, who will one day glorify you to the praise of his name. This is a word of the Lord for each and every one of us tonight. Thirdly, you'll notice there, God appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, verse 5 and that last part there. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. One commentator said that Jeremiah was not just set apart for salvation, but he was set apart for a vocation. God had worked for him to do. God had a work for him to do. Jeremiah was pointed as a prophet to the nations. It's interesting, that word prophet comes up over 300 times throughout the whole of the Old Testament. And again, I remind you of what that means. It was someone who was to foretell and forthtell the word of God, to declare what God's word says, but also to predict what God was going to do in the future as well. It was a dual application. But it was different, slightly different than any of the others. It wasn't like Daniel and or Ezekiel or Isaiah or Amos. They communicated the word of God to his people with an extension to the nations. But Jeremiah was specifically called as a prophet to the nations. He had an international ministry. On my business card, I've thought about writing that down, international speaker. Because it would look good, wouldn't it, on my CV? And I can justifiably say, because I preached once in Scotland and once in Wales. So that's international. That's enough international for me. No, he was a real international preacher because he was a prophet to the nations. The nations heard all that God was going to do through this man. One of his messages that he would communicate to the nation is that God's grace would not only reach Israel, but also would reach to the entire nations. That anybody who was right with God, anybody who sought God, could be brought into his family. The very existence of Jeremiah was due to the sovereign elective plan of God. And Jeremiah was called of God so that others may learn that truth herself. I do believe that there's something to see here that is very important again and very, very theologically true. God obviously wants his people to know about the doctrine of sovereign election and to communicate it to us. But I've often heard it said, you know, this is for those who are the mature Christians, those who can handle this sort of doctrine. It's not, it's for all of us. Kids, Put your make-believe down just for one moment. Listen to me. God knows you. He can call you and appoint you to serve him. Not just for the big people. It's for all of us. Even before this man, Jeremiah, was in the womb, God knew him. And that was true of you. This is not just big stuff for the adults. This is truth for you all. And we need to know this, and we need to teach this to our children. You are in a very, I said it last week, and I don't apologize for saying it again. You are in a very, very privileged position because God, who knew you before you were in the womb, also appointed you to be in the family that you are in. And the family that you are in is the family that God has chosen you to be in. But not only that, the family that will teach you the truths of God. Parents, don't stop teaching them the truth of God. But also don't stop modeling it either. So that they may know that God has called them, that God can appoint them, that God can use them for his glory as well. This isn't just for the big people. It's for all of us little people as well. God's elective plan. Fourthly, Jeremiah initially objected to the elective calling of God. Did you notice that? Ah, sovereign Lord, surely not me. I can't even speak. And not only that, I'm still a child. When God revealed his calling to Jeremiah, Oh, sovereign Lord, God knew Jeremiah, but look, did you notice that Jeremiah knew God? The way in which he referred to God was a clear understanding that he had a knowledge of who God is. Jehovah Adonai, the Lord God Almighty, the sovereign one who created heaven and earth, but also the use of that word, the Adonai, it's the God who can do what he wants to do. He's something other. Here's what Isaiah said. He is holy. 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 Thrice holy is God. Now, his concept of God was that God was sovereign. He was almighty. He was the covenant-keeping God who can do whatever he wants, the one who rules over it all. As we're reminded this morning, we could have had that one tonight, Ross, but you pinched it from me. All over the earth, you reign on high. All over the mountains, the streams, every sunset sky, over every thought, over every weird, over every dream, Lord, reign in me again. God is sovereign over it all. But watch what he goes on to say there. I can't speak for you, God, because I know who you are, but surely you can't have chosen me. Never, ever doubt who God is. Sometimes we doubt that God would choose. We doubt ourselves. But never, ever doubt God's call on us. Never, ever doubt God's sovereign grace, which is being extended to you. Now, I don't know what it is. I was trying to seek out in my studies this week and from various commentaries, but I couldn't find it. Is his attitude here, is it false modesty? Is it humility? Is it faithfulness? I want to suggest to you that maybe I'm wrong in this, but maybe it's actually a mark of genuine spirituality. Because all the others that God has really called and used have had exactly the same response. It's interesting that he's saying, I'm too young here. You remember what Moses said? I'm too old. We've always got some excuse, haven't we? I haven't got enough time, Lord. I can't speak for you because I come from Bootle. You know, there are those who said that to me. There are those who warned me not to come to Holmgate. Surely someone like you couldn't speak to this wonderful people who were so clever. Professors and doctors and teachers and lecturers. Someone like you couldn't really teach them anything. No, you're dead right, I couldn't, but God can. Because God can even speak through a donkey, so he can speak through a scouse man. We should never, ever doubt God's call upon our life. Charles, again, Fenberg said this, that Jeremiah was struck with terror over the magnitude of the task. I can't speak and I'm too young. Jeremiah reasons in this way, and he puts two arguments before God. Not only that he lacks eloquence, but he was not mature enough to handle the word of God. I've got to say, I've got to confess, the public speaking is very intimidating. It's not easy, is it, standing up in front of people? I can actually do it very, very well. I remember being in school and I had to do a talk in front of everybody. And I'd forgotten that I was on that week. And it was the English teacher and she said, are you ready, Waters? And I thought, ready for what, miss? You're on. And so I quickly went like this and I'm just going to show off my new socks. And I put my foot up like that. I've got new socks on, by the way, some flashy socks. And I put my foot up on the counter and I said, be kind to your shoe sales assistant. And I went into a whole spiel about being kind to a shoe, because that's what I did. I worked for Freeman Hardy Wills. And I spoke about how to sell shoes. And I got top marks. Speaking the word of God is something completely other than. Because you're responsible for handling his truth. And it should never, ever be taken lightly. Let me assure you, folks, I will be held before a holy God far more accountable than you will be, because that's what Scripture says. And in one sense, I can understand how intimidated Jeremiah must have felt. I've got to confess, when I'm actually preaching, I'm just repeating what God's already said in his word. For Jeremiah, he was receiving direct revelation. The awesome pressure that was upon him. And he didn't feel adequate because he felt young. Most commentators believe he was probably around about in his 20s somewhere. We're not sure, but he could have well have been around about that level. But know this, that when it comes to serving God, there really ought to be, there should always be that sense of inadequacy. And there's nothing wrong to doubt our own ability and our own self, but we should never, ever doubt God's ability to enable us, to equip us. Remember what Paul said to the young man, the young pastor Timothy? He said, don't let anybody despise your youth. Paul had a problem in these areas, by the way. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16, it says, who is adequate of these things? Paul struggled in these areas himself, and yet how God mightily used him. Sixthly and penultimately, God refutes the objection of Jeremiah. Praise God, he does. He says three things to him. Verse 7 there, notice what he says. But the Lord says to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Three things he says. Firstly, because everywhere I send you, I will go with you. You're not alone in this, Jeremiah. You're not alone in this, Ross. You're not alone in this, Richard. You're not alone in the work that God has called you to do, Liz. That you might be witnesses to God's saving power in our day and our generation. God is with you in the midst of it. Because all I do have commanded you to do, you will speak. You don't have to worry about your speaking ability, Jeremiah. Because I will tell you what I want you to say. The Spirit of God will give us utterance. Will speak to us and through us the things of God. We shouldn't fear. Your job will be to communicate what I tell you to communicate. This is the responsibility of every man and woman of God to actually communicate what God has said to the people. And the most important thing that we have to communicate is the saving power of our God through the Lord Jesus Christ to declare what he has done. Thirdly, God says, because you do not need to be afraid, because I will not only be with you, but I will deliver you. Verse 8, look what it says. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you. This statement is not to be afraid. It indicates that Jeremiah was to face some fearful opposition. He knew in his heart what was ahead of him. And God was preparing him. But even when you're facing the most difficult of situations, God is not only is with you, but he will deliver you from them as well. We need to have faith and believe that God will do these things even for us. And finally, God personally touched Jeremiah, verse 9 to 10. Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and he said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and the kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. God himself comforted Jeremiah and touched him and gave him three specific messages. Messages that we could spend the next hour discussing together, but we need to close. He said this, that I've put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah's words were actually God's word. He was just God spoken. I've appointed you over the nations and the kingdoms, and your ministry will be both negative and positive. This is an important thing to see, that Jeremiah would have a ministry that would be both destructive and one that would be constructive as well. One that would actually build the people up, but one that will actually destroy the people as well for those who refuse to respond to God's truth. I will pluck up and I will break down. I will destroy and I will overthrow. I will build and I will plant, says the Lord your God. But in the midst of this, Jeremiah knew, and he needed to know, and you and I need to know in our day, in our generation, that God is with us. This is what we know as we close tonight. That God has created you, God has called you, God has consecrated you, God has equipped you, and God is the one who will enable you. Romans 8, verse 28 to 30, we know it so well, but let me remind you of it as we close this night. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those who predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he will also glorify. When we live in a world that is falling apart like our world, a world that similar to what Jeremiah was living in, God is still looking out for his elect. He will move forward. Who will go and get the job done for him? You know that this is the same way that he assured Jeremiah. He assures us that he will be with us, that he will give us the right words to say, and that he will deliver us. He will rescue us. We just simply need to be faithful to communicate his truth. And he will hold us fast. We will be secure in him.